But it is dangerously corrupting to fight fire with fire. It's not that white Christian America is a bad or oppressive thing, far from it. Rather, it's the desire to impose a vision of white Christian America that's dangerous. For in the effort to translate such a vision into a government program, an open society must become a closed one. Rousseau was right about one thing. Censorship is useful for preserving morals, but useless for restoring them. A department of Judeo-Christian culture would only succeed in creating a parody of real culture. In Europe, the churches are subsidized by the state, and the pews are empty as a result. The problem with values relativism, the notion that all cultures are equal, is that important questions get decided via a contest of political power rather than a contest of ideas, and every subculture in our balkanized society becomes a constituency for some government functionary. The result is a state-sanctioned multicultural ethos where Aztecs and Athenians are equal, at least in the eyes of the public school teachers and multicultural gurus. In an open society, best practices win, and the conservative case is that best practices are best not because they are white or Christian, but because they are plainly best. Of course, the danger posed by the multicultural welfare state is that by subscribing to values relativism, it creates a climate where white Christians would be fools not to compete for control. For example, if the public schools are going to indoctrinate children to a moral vision, parents cannot be blamed for wanting that vision to be theirs. Much as with the state interference in business or other realms of life, once the classical liberal vision of the state as a dispassionate arbiter and adjudicator is discarded in favor of a mommy state that plays favorites, it's only reasonable for people, groups, and businesses to compete for mother's love. All three of these impulses have been on ample display among conservatives over the last two decades. There is perhaps no better illustration of this than Patrick J. Buchanan, the leading living exemplar of what liberals mean when they speak of an incipient American fascism. Born into an Irish Catholic household in Washington, D.C., Buchanan began his career as an editorialist for the St. Louis Globe Democrat. In the 1960s, he signed down with Richard Nixon to help with the former vice president's political comeback. A nominal Goldwaterite, Buchanan served as Nixon's ambassador to the conservative movement and vice versa, defending the all-too-progressive Nixon to the conservatives and defending the conservatives to Nixon. After the 1968 election, Buchanan served as an advisor and speechwriter for both Nixon and Vice President Spiro Agnew. Even before he was dubbed Pitchfork Pat, Buchanan had earned a reputation as a populist. He helped coin the phrase silent majority for Nixon and pushed his boss to attack East Coast elites and, often in code, Jews. In a series of memos in 1972, he advised Nixon that the president should move to recapture the anti-establishment tradition or theme in American politics.